Today, continue talking about the 38 blessings of the Lord Buddha. We finish talking about 6 and then we go on to number 7 to 10. In the next stanza goes, Pahu satchan cha sipan cha vinayo cha susikito Subhasita cha yava cha yeta mangkalamutam Pahu satcha. To have great knowledge, to have studied a lot. Sipan cha. To be proficient in some sort of handicraft or in skill, to be proficient in the practice or in the performance of what one has learned. Vinayo jasusikito. To have a discipline which is well trained. To be well trained in discipline. Subhasita jayavacha. Whatever speech is well spoken. Etamang kalamutamang. These are blessings in the highest sense. Bahusaccha. Bahusaccha, to have great knowledge and learning. Knowledge and learning, on a basic level, it means having studied, having either listened to many talks on the Dhamma or had many teachers teaching about the Dhamma, teaching about the truth. Of course, it could mean even in a worldly sense, mean nothing to do with the Dhamma, with the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Here we understand it to mean the teaching of the Lord Buddha, but actually it could even be considered a blessing just to have learned a lot in a worldly sense. They say knowledge is power. In whatever realm, we work in, we work in business or we work in education. Work in any field in the world. We find that if we the more we have studied what we're doing, the greater will be our power and our ability to carry out our work. In the Dhamma, it's the same. It's, of course, even much more of a blessing, because the Dhamma is that which keeps us from falling into evil, falling into suffering. When we have great knowledge or learning about the Dhamma, for sure, we can much better put it into practice. If we learn all 38 of the blessings of the Lord Buddha, we'll be much better off to put them all into practice. Better than we know one or two. We only know the very basics of the Lord Buddha's teaching. And if we learn a lot about the Buddha's teaching, it would be much easier for us to put it all into practice, to put the Buddha's teaching into practice, because we understand it on a more broad level. It's a great blessing to have studied. But with study, you can also apply it according to the teachers, according to the teachers on the teachings on great knowledge, great learning. It can also apply to practice, and it can also apply to the results one gets from practice. Here we can find it only to book learning or to listening to what other people have to say, but really it can also mean, because the knowledge which we gain from books and from hearing is really a very superficial knowledge. It doesn't constitute real understanding or real learning of a subject until we put ourselves to the task. It really can't be expected to bring us any great fruit. So we'll confine it to this, because the next one, sipang means handicraft, or the ability to do the work. This applies more to the realm of practice. We need to have the ability to put into practice whatever we've learned. In the time of the Lord Buddha, there were many stories of people who had studied but had never put into practice what they had learned. One story is the story of Empty Book. The Lord Buddha called him Empty Book. His name was Potila, which meant the form of a book in those times, or a palm leaf, a manuscript, something used to write on. And he had studied the whole of the Buddha's teaching, memorized the entire teaching of the Lord Buddha. And when he went to see the Lord Buddha, he thought that, of course, the Lord Buddha would praise him for his attainment. I mean, he had students, 500 students or 1,000 students, and he thought that the Lord Buddha would for sure have something good to say about him. So he went to see the Lord Buddha, pay respect to the Lord Buddha, and the Lord Buddha saw him coming and said, "Oh, here comes good old Empty Book. Oh, there goes Empty Book. Oh, Empty Book sitting down. Empty Book is getting up." He called him by the name Empty Book. And Potila was very ashamed to hear this from the Lord Buddha. And he realized that it was because he had studied but never practiced, that the study which he had gained was really nothing. It was not something that really meant anything. Like, it was still an empty book. And so he went off and tried to find a teacher to teach him, but no one would teach him, until finally he found a novice, a 7-year-old novice, who taught him meditation. Because no one else would dare to teach him. He was quite difficult to teach, because he knew everything already. People who know everything are very difficult to teach. But the novice had a way of breaking his attachment to his learning. And in the end he did attain to become an arahant through the practice of meditation. The sipancha means the ability to practice, the understanding, the skill in practice. In the world it means being skilled in a trade, skilled in a handicraft, skilled in whatever field which one one applies oneself to. This is a great blessing in the world. Something which is highly prized, someone who is skilled, someone who has a skill in what they do. It's a blessing, is something we can take anywhere with us. If you have a business, you can't take the business with you, but if you have a skill, you can take it anywhere. Whatever skills that we have, we can take them anywhere with us. The Lord Buddha said this is a great blessing, something we should all strive for. If we live in the world, we should strive to have some skill which is well trained. It can be a blessing. In the meditation practice, in the Buddhist teaching, of course, it means the skill in meditation practice. We should have skill in attaining to the states of calm, which are conducive for insight meditation, insight realization. If we really want to be skillful, we should be skillful at attaining the magical powers, reading people's minds, remembering past lives, flying through the air. Shape changing and so on. The divine eye, the divine ear, all these, see things far away, hear things far away, and so on. But whether we attain to those magical powers, magical states or not, the most important is we become skillful in seeing the three characteristics. We become skillful in watching the rising and the falling, watching the feelings, watching the mind, watching them arise and cease. Seeing that all the things around us, which used to make us so upset, they're really only body and mind. They're impermanent, they're unsatisfying, and they're not under our control. And to let them go. And gain skill in attaining to the complete freedom from suffering. Skill in attaining what we call peaceful cessation, where the mind lets go, where the mind is free. The mind doesn't fall into suffering. It's a skill in, talking about skill in attainment, skill in some sort, in practice, being able to put into practice what we've learned. Number 9 is what. Vinayo chasu sikito, a well-trained discipline. Discipline is, as I always say, is the most important foundation of the practice. It's a great blessing to be skilled, to be well-trained in discipline. Sometimes you even see it in the world among people who haven't practiced Buddhism. They have a rudimentary sort of discipline. And you see it among soldiers. I even saw it once among an ordinary person in the world. It was a woman who was from Cambodia. And she was Buddhist, so you can ascribe it somewhat to her Buddhist background, but I'd never seen anyone like her. She had a teacher, and she brought her teacher, who was a Westerner, to come to see us in the monastery. And her teacher was not very polite. Her teacher was not mean, but she was somewhat demanding and Her discipline was not very strong. But this student who brought her teacher with her to see us in the monastery was probably the most well-disciplined person I'd ever met. Maybe ever have met, still. She had some sort of training in manners, and she was, "Yes, miss. No, miss. Can I help you, miss?" Someone who was very well trained. very disciplined and would not show any sort of anger or upset. You sit the way she sat, the way she walked. There's someone you could see who had received great training and discipline. Well, discipline means to have body and to have speech which is well refined, which is well trained. Some people, on the other hand, are always moving, always fidgeting about, always saying useless things, always talking about, and the way they talk is not trained or not polite or disciplined. In the practice of the Buddhism, of course, it takes on a more specific meaning. The meaning of refraining from evil deeds with the body and with the speech. Because a person can be disciplined and still be able to do evil deeds. For instance, soldiers or police officers or even thieves and villains are able to have certain type of discipline. When it comes to refraining from evil deeds, they might not hesitate. So when we mean discipline in the Buddha's teaching, we're talking about refraining from deeds which are inappropriate. When we're lay people, we have to keep 5 precepts or 8 precepts. These are rules which we have to train ourselves in for the purpose of the attainment of concentration. Morality is always, discipline is always for the purpose of attaining to concentration. For monks, we have so many rules. But the truth is, when we keep all of these rules, we can realize that our concentration really improves. When this year I stopped to touch money. As a monk, we're not supposed to be touching money. We're supposed to be buying things or involved with touching money. So I started to train myself in this. And since I started training, you can see clearly that discipline certainly does lead to concentration. It leads your mind to be fixed and composed. You don't have to be worrying or thinking about this or about that, about all of the things that surround you in the world. Your mind becomes fixed and focused in one place, not restless or disturbed as before. But even in regards to all of the precepts, the 5 or the 8 or 227 rules that the monks have to keep, the more important discipline is the discipline which comes from the mind which is well trained. When the mind is not flitting here or flitting there or falling into bad or unwholesome states, the disciplined mind. We talk about disciplining the body and the speech. Well, people can force themselves to do that and still be evil people inside. But the discipline of the mind, it's just the much more important thing. To have a mind which is well disciplined. We don't let our mind get angry, or we don't let our mind become greedy. We don't let our mind become deluded. We come to see that these things are the cause of suffering, or they're suffering themselves. We let go of them. This comes, of course, from the practice of meditation, which we are all undertaking. This is the most important thing for us, is always to push ourselves to pull ourselves to bring ourselves up to the level where we don't get angry, even when people do bad things to us. We want to be better than them. We don't get angry at them. We send love to them. May they be happy. Forgive them. May they be free from suffering. And so on, where our minds don't become upset or even attached to good things in the world. This is called vinayocha susikito. Have a well-trained discipline, a disciplined mind. And number 10, supasita chayavacha. Whatever words, whatever speech is well spoken. This is the greatest, this is a blessing in the greatest sense, the highest sense. Number 10 is whatever speech is well spoken. This is a blessing. In the world, it's kind of funny because sometimes you meet people whose speech is so sweet. They're called the flatterer, someone who says always saying good. You hear them saying good things. But sometimes it happens that you meet someone who, to your face, they say so many nice, good things. But if you're perceptive, you know that right behind your back, for sure they're not saying good things about you. You know why they're saying it. They're not saying it because they mean it or because of loving kindness which exists in their heart. They're saying it because they know when they say it, it's a way of ingratiating themselves with you. Sometimes you see people smiling, but you know behind their smile they're really really looking at you as though you're some kind of beast or so on. These kind of people, what I mean is that sometimes people have sweet words and you think, oh, that's well said. But really the intentions behind their speech are not wholesome, not pure. For speech to really be truly well spoken, it has to come from a pure heart. For instance, there was in the Buddha's time, there was one monk who lived in the forest. And all the Buddha's teaching was one story. He had heard many things, but all he remembered, he kept in mind only one story of the Buddha, but he was so good at telling it that every time when he told the story, when he came to the verse at the end and he finished up the story, that all of the angels and all of the beings living in the forest, they would all sadhu, sadhu, and this great noise would ring through the forest. And this one day a monk came to visit him, and he saw this and he said, oh, these people don't know good teaching when they hear it. I'll go up and give a talk. And he talked and talked and talked and talked and gave a long talk about many different things. There was a monk who had great learning, vast learning. And at the end he finished the talk. And he sat and waited, and there was no noise, he didn't hear anything. And the other monk said, yes, yes. And the other monk got up on the chair and just said his one verse, the end verse of the story, and immediately the whole forest shook with sad, who sad. The monk who, because it was given from his heart. When we say things, we have to be sure that our intentions are pure. We can't just say things to flatter other people. And we can't just be like a parrot repeating the words of other people. When we wish people goodness for themselves, we have to see, do we really wish them goodness? When we teach the teaching of the Lord Buddha, do we really mean it? Do we really understand the teaching? Otherwise we're going to just be like an empty book, or like a parrot. Or like the Lord Buddha said, someone who feeds cows, someone who looks at, what do they call, a shepherd, or a cowherd, someone who looks after other people's cows. When you look after other people's cows, you see, you never get to possess the fruits of the looking after the cow, the fruits of having the milk or having cheese or butter, the products which come from the cow. If the cows are not your cows, they are someone else's cows, then you will never get to taste the fruits of the fruits that come from the cow. And Buddha said, in the same way, even though someone knows a lot of the teaching and is able to teach it, if they haven't come to practice or understand the teachings, they're just like someone who looks after other people's cows. They won't get the true flavor of the Dhamma. For something to be well spoken, it needs to be at the right time. Sometimes you say something good, but it's at the wrong time. It has to be spoken. It has to be the truth. Sometimes we speak nice things, but it's not the truth. It has to be appropriate thing to say. It can't be something useless or something which is unhelpful. It has to be said with love, with loving kindness in one's heart. And so on. There are many factors which lead for something to be well spoken. And this is considered a great blessing. It's a blessing for the person who speaks, it's a blessing for the person who hears it. When we hear the teachings of the Lord Buddha, it's one of the greatest blessings. When we talk about the teachings of the Lord Buddha, when we talk about meditation practice, is one of the greatest blessings. It leads to peace and to happiness in the world. Even animals, when they hear the teaching of the Lord Buddha, because it's so pure and there's nothing mean or evil being said, their minds can become pure. In the time of the Lord Buddha, there's a story of a frog that was reborn in heaven simply from listening to the Lord Buddha's teaching. Didn't understand a word, but was sitting, absorbing the sound vibrations, and as a result of the wholesome mind which arose as a result at the moment when the frog died, it was reborn in heaven. So it's considered a blessing. Whatever words are well spoken, it's considered a blessing as well. Now this is the blessings numbers 7 to 10.